So with that happy thought, I'd like to actually spend some time now looking at each of the four basic personality types in action, knowing that you're not limited to one or another. In other words, you can switch between profiles if you just know how to switch your mental state, your mental machinery, to adopt a new set of filters. And you can do the same thing with other people. I'm sure that there's a genetic constituent as well, an element which predisposes you to one thing or another. And if that's such a thing, by all means, it can exist. But it doesn't mean that you haven't got the ability to do other things also. Now, I honestly don't know if that genetic component exists or not. Some people will tell you it does, some people will tell you it doesn't. To date, no research has actually been able to establish one over the other. Lots of research has tried to establish it, and in my opinion, has failed miserably, having been fundamentally flawed. A classic example, and something we'll come into more in later sessions, is the idea where you do follow-up studies. You get someone's profile, and 10, 20, 30 years later, you take the profile again, and you check where they're at. Now, the theory is that if everyone's the same profile 20 years on, well, then they haven't changed. It's basically who they are, their nature, their character, and that's that. Well, that doesn't really make sense. Think about it this way. If you do a census of people's professions, let's say you find a banker or a baker, and 30 years later, you do another census of their profession, and you find bankers are still bankers and bakers are still bakers, does that mean that banking and baking is a genetically inherited trait? Are you born banker? Are you born a baker? Well, not necessarily. If you're a banker and you are doing banking, when you get stuck in that way of doing and thinking things, well, soon, that's all you know how to do. So you'll do more of it because you're familiar with it. And the better you get at it, the harder it'll be for you to change to something else, just because you like it more or you know it more, you have a deeper understanding of it. And starting again from scratch somewhere else takes more effort. So it makes sense that people stick with certain traits, certain professions and so on over time. It doesn't mean that they're genetically inherited. All that it means is that people prefer them because it's easier. They're more practiced in them. This is how I look at hypnotic profiles. People have a particular profile which they adopt, shall we say, more lightheartedly in their younger ages. And as they find how to work it successfully and rest in it and use it more over time as they grow up, they become more familiar with it and how the benefits can really help them. And the disuse of the other kinds of personalities, particularly if there's one which they avoid more than others, will basically make them weaker, that they can't enter that state as easily and hence don't know how to use it as well as the one they're more familiar with. Am I right? I don't know. I can't prove it. I think I'm right. My experiences allow me to expect it to be right. And I have to warn you that I'm making it up just as much as everyone else is. So you need to make up your own mind, find your own experiences, create your own little tests, your own little experiments. And the day that I figure out someone has actually done a experiment of value that can prove either way, I'll happily let you know. But now is not that time. Now's the time really to focus on the pragmatics. So let's look at those four personality types, earth, fire, air, and water, in more detail so you can tell, first of all, more about how to find that character, and secondly, how to predict what that person is going to think, feel, and do as a result of just collecting a little bit of information on each one. So the first character we want to be looking at is the earth character. We can call them Ed or Edna's if you like, if you want to actually imagine an actual person in front of you. So what would Ed or Edna be like? Well, much like Ezekiel's ox, this tends to be a very sturdy person. I don't mean physically strong and squat and, you know, pulling a plow, that sort of thing. I just mean sturdy in the sense of being reliable and dependable. Remember, their nature is to be, or rather their type, their profile, is to be concrete and left brain. So they're into sensory details and logical explanation or logical sequencing of things. So what does it tell us? Well, much like Aristotle's proprietary person or Plato's guardians, these are kind of people who work solidly. They are very meticulous in what they're doing. Remember, they're looking for a lot of sensory information. And by working through something solidly or constantly in a very logical progression, very meticulously working through something, it makes them look like they're a little bit slow or very, very detail-oriented in what they're doing. As a result, these kind of people tend towards things like taking care of things, husbandry or growing things, particularly when it comes to gathering things afterwards as well. Remember, part of what it means to be left-brained is to be very pragmatic and an ability to plan, so to take the future into account. So part of what the earthy type character, your Eds or Ednas, would be doing is looking to the future and preparing it for it in the now. So they'll tend to gather things and preserve things, collect things in the here and now. They might even be quite big collectors. An earthy type character will tend to be great at things like administration or logistics of things. Why? Well, again, let's look at the basic filter they're using. They adopt lots of details, sensory-rich information, and at the same time, they tend to be very logical and sequential in their thinking. And administration uses the same thing. You're using lots and lots of facts and you're organizing them in a logical sort of way. When you're doing your accounts, for example, for your tax returns, what are you doing? You're gathering lots of facts, the shoes you've bought, the paper you've bought, the trips you've planned, the hotel expenses, the fax machine, the repairs. These are all little details of life, little slices of life that you've organized in a logical sequence, usually using time. And then you're going to give them an evaluation, usually using a monetary value, in other words, what you spent on them or what you earned from them. And you're going to add them all up at the end, so you have a nice income expenditure sort of balance sheet at the end. Because of this logical and detail or sensory-oriented nature, the earthy type people tend towards liking things to be very ordered, to be very, really be nicely organized, visually attractive in that sense. And they tend to also be a bit more kind of traditionalist as well. They'll look backwards for information about the future. Why? Because again, think about it this way. They aren't in the world of ideas. They're not putting concepts together. They've got to look at specific things, specific events. Where do you look for specific events? Well, it's in your past. And if it's not in your past, you have to look at other people's past for their details to replace the past that you haven't had. So again, earthy characters tend towards being traditionalists, more like conservatives, who are about conserving things, gathering things, taking care of things, looking towards the past for information about the future. As a result of this, they can be kind of the pillars of society, the salt of the earth. They're the kind of people that every politician loves to praise because they're dependable, they're sturdy, they're meticulous, they tend to be very hard workers, and they tend to be very duty-bound or rule-bound. They tend to really like the rules. Again, that's part of that logical left-brain thinking and that desire or that like for sensory information. A rule is something very simple and easy to gather. You can just take it off. If the rules say stop, you stop. You can stop at a red light in the middle of a crossroads in the middle of a desert without any car coming for 10 miles in any direction. An Earth-type character will stop just because the light is red. Now, another kind of character, for example, a more fiery sort of character, more right brain, more about the here and now, the experience, or maybe an abstract thinker, like say a airy, you know, intellectual who is more into the concept and ideas, might think, hang on a second, what's the purpose of this? What's the point of waiting at a red light when there's nothing going on? So they'll just drive through in the middle of the desert because there's no point listening to a red light. An earthbound person, on the other hand, is, well, the rule is there, so we'll have to follow it. Again, we're talking about tendencies. There are plenty of earth people who are, if you like, dancing to a slightly different tune, but these are tendencies you'll find gathering around as a result of these kind of filters that are inside of people's minds. Again, earthy type people tend to come across as being very careful or cautious just because they like, again, to go systematically through all the information step by step. They won't be rushed into anything, and that tends to be something that we look at as being cautious. Now, their externally oriented nature, being very much detail and sensory detail oriented, tends to make them orient to the outside world, and in particular to people. So this can again mean that the earthy character tends to be quite socially oriented. In the particular way that they do it, because they're much more about rules, about the logical process, the procedure of things, there can be a tendency for earthy kind of characters to be kind of conformist to the social norm, to the social values that they happen to be in. But that sort of conformist nature is in a kind of positive way, in the sense that it's a desire to act correctly, to be ethical. So to sum up earth characters, they tend to be collectors or hoarders of things, they tend to preserve things, they're good at planning for the future in terms of logistics and administration of things, so they're the kind of person that wouldn't starve in the winter way back when we didn't have fridges and supermarkets. Earthy kind of characters will be very meticulous. They tend to be very hard workers and quite socially oriented. In terms of their dark side, their negative trait, a earthy character tends towards depression, or as it used to be called, melancholy. So when Galen identified the melancholic, he's basically talking about a person who was kind of depressed and kind of pessimistic about life in general. Again, this has partly to do with the logical left brain. Remember the experience of rapture, of going beyond something, the holistic sense of being connected with something is more a right brain experience. The left brain experience tends toward cynicism, skepticism, doubt, and so on. And so a pessimist is someone who doubts that good things are going to happen, who doubts the future, who is cynical about the future. And if you look at the ultimate left brain thinker, the ultimate rationalist, these are called economists. And economists are very, very pessimistic about people. They tend to think that, for example, there's an interesting philosophical conundrum created by economists called the prisoner's dilemma. It goes something like this. If you're a prisoner and you've been arrested with your friend in the middle of a crime, now the police can't prove it was you or him. They have to get one of you guys to confess. Now, if you confess, then your sentence will go from 10 years down to just 1 year. So you save yourself 9 years in prison. The other person will do the 10 years for you. You come out 1 year later and you're okay. However, if the other person confesses first, you're in the barrel, you go into jail for 10 years, and they get the 1 year for good behavior and for blowing the whistle on you. But here's the kicker. If neither of you says anything, if both of you are silent, the police doesn't have enough evidence to actually do anything with you, you both go free. So the choice is between doing 10 years in prison, 1 year in prison, or both going free. How do you behave? What do you do? Do you blow the whistle on your friend or your co-conspirator and take the 1 year? Do you keep silent and gamble that you'll either get off scot-free or take the 10 years instead? Well, an economist will tell you the only rational choice to make is to blow the whistle, take the year, and be certain of that 1 year, you know, minimal damage outcome. And this is the way an earth character comes to reason. It's a very pessimistic view of life, purely because the rational taken to an extreme can be very pessimistic. Again, a downside or a dark side of an earth kind of character is they can be very solemn or serious as part of, again, their preponderance to social status and being considered a pillar of society and so on. They'd be very rule-bound kind of characters. And by no means suggesting that all Earth-type people, all Eds and Ednas out there, are depressed, pessimistic, rule-bound, solemn, overly serious people. By no means at all. These are one extreme, the negative extreme, that this type of personality profile will tend towards and allows you to recognize certain people. And you'll know, for example, that someone who's earthy, if they get into too much pressure, if they start losing their mental balance a little bit, they'll be more prone to depression than, say, a fiery character. So now, how do you actually tell if you're faced with an earthy character? Remember, we're looking for concrete in terms of their thinking and their language, and we're looking at a left brain kind of activity. So a left brain or an earthy kind of character will tend to talk in specific terms, things they actually observe, things they touched in the real world. It'll be Fred and Peter rather than just friends. It'll talk about how the two hooligan kids from around the block, you know, two houses down, who came and spray painted their back wall, and how bad those two kids were, versus someone who's more abstract thinking might say, you know, I'm living in a bad part of town, kids are going out of control, and so on. As a rule, they will talk about quote-unquote mundane things, things that are in the real world, things they can touch, taste, and sense. And because they have a lot of these things, a lot of these instances they pay attention to because they're very sensory-oriented, and because their thinking style, their left-brain procedurally-oriented style, tends them to go towards associational thinking. Associational thinking works when you basically take sensory information, things you see, hear, and taste, and you attach them in an order. In other words, if X happens and Y happens and Z happens, X, Y, Z, that's an order, associational cue. When you think of X, it reminds you of Y, that reminds you of Z. It's a basic mnemonic technique. It's how your memory works. Your memory works through associational thinking. And because earthbound characters tend towards this associational form of thinking and pay attention to a lot of sensory details, which is how memory latches onto, actual physical details of the five senses. So earth type people tend to have tremendous memories for details, dates, events, facts, people, faces, names, that sort of stuff. Now, all that stuff put together means that earthy people, Eds and Ednas, are tremendously good at small talk. They're great conversationalists, at least on the superficial level, and then create a lot of wide rapport with people because they've always got events to talk about, situations, you know, their cousin this and doing that in the spring and doing another thing over here and so on. These earthy characters constantly have actual details that they can talk about, and they don't ever have to stop. They can never stop because the train of association doesn't stop. If anyone has any difficulty in social setting doing small talk, just learn how to be more earthy, to be more sensory oriented, and to think progressively, logically, in other words, using the associational style of thinking. At that point, you can never run out of stuff to say. A downside, of course, of that can be that all the small talk can mean that sometimes earthy people don't reach deeper levels of conversation, and they can wind some people up because they're constantly changing topics. On the negative side, again, if an earthy type person is, shall we say, a little bit more socially inept, one of the side effects can be that they'll just blurt out something as soon as you remind them of it. So you talk about, you know, a charming moment with your girlfriend when you bought her an ice cream, and they'll go, "Ice cream? Oh yeah, I love Häagen-Dazs. Häagen-Dazs tastes good. I had Häagen-Dazs the first time when I was 3 years old. My daddy took me to the store and I tried three different flavors. I didn't like the first flavor. It was chocolate with pecan nuts in it. Yada, 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 yada." Now, everyone would be looking at them going, "What the hell is this guy doing? What's he talking about bloody pecan nuts for? This guy's just talking a charming love story and he's talking about pecan nuts." Well, that makes sense now when you understand the earth nature, the concrete, logical, associational, progressive thinking has latched onto a certain detail, ice cream. It sparked off that memory inside his mind, and that memory led him through a whole sequence of events, and he's just basically rattling them off without rhyme or reason. Now, because of this, again, if they're socially inept, or sometimes people can do this on purpose, the earthy type character can sometimes dominate conversations, occasionally make them very boring, purely because of this type of tendency. Now, I'm not suggesting that earthy types are boring in the least. They can be great conversationalists because they always have something appropriate to say. It just means how much social savviness do they have, and how do they apply this associational thinking, this rich memory for detail, in the actual conversation. So, for example, someone like Mark Twain might have been an earthy character, purely in the sense that he can make great descriptions. He can sit there and wrestle an audience into his stories and provide details that brings the whole story to life. So earthy characters can be tremendous conversationalists, have a lot of good skills with that. And we're looking just at the up and downside of this associational thinking that they like to follow through on. So the way to tell an earth type is you're looking for specific information, concrete words, actual, this person, you know, Bill, Fred, Toyota outside my house, rather than overall concept, friendship, vehicles, and so on. Let's turn our attention now to the next kind of personality profile, which is the fire type people. Well, let's call them Freds or Fridas. If you have a picture in your mind of the archetype, the pure fire type personality, you can call one Fred, one Frida, depending on what gender you want to have. And in terms of the general vibe, the general feel for each, for the fire type personalities, we're thinking about Ezekiel's line. We're talking about a bold character. Plato called these the artisans. They're the people who are artistic and make things. They provide the beauty in life. They're willing to, you know, go to the edge and risque. They're going to the taboo places which society is afraid to go to as a way of bringing more beauty, more richness, more life into the actual experience. Aristotle liked to call them the hedonic type, hedonists, people who look for pleasure in things. So a fire type personality, a Fred or a Frida, is someone who really enjoys life to the full. Remember, their basic profile is someone who thinks in concrete terms, sensory rich terms, and whose right brain they're thinking. So a little bit timeless. It's about the meaning, about the experience, about the connection to nature, to life, the universe, and everything. So as a result, these concrete right brain thinkers, these fire type personalities, can really enjoy life because they appreciate every moment for what it is. Think back to our extreme example with the neuroscientist who had a stroke. When she went into a massive right brain dominance because the left brain started shutting down more and more, she had this overwhelmingly positive experience. Even though she was dying, she had this overwhelmingly positive experience of just staring at her shower curtain. Now, that takes some pretty good, you know, hedonic or hedonism to be able to enjoy looking at a metal ring reflecting sunlight and seeing the whole of the universe and enjoying the beauty of it and everything else in that one moment of time. So that's what the right brain tends to do for people. They appreciate beauty a great deal because, remember, it's about the meaning of things, the beauty of things, in a very concrete sense, in a very sensory sense. So they'll love art, they'll love music, they have a real appreciation for these things because their mind is filtering and sorting for these things. They can be quite practical and wily though. So just because they're a right brain thinker doesn't mean that they aren't pragmatic or practical in the real world. They can be very, very practical because again, when they're very sensory oriented, their senses, it's all about working inside the real world. So these can be what people might call the creative types, hence I think why Plato called them the artists or the artisans. And you know, on a downside, these can be the con artists of the world who think of a great new scam to, you know, take advantage of a certain situation. On a positive side of note, these are the entrepreneurs, the one that see a gap in the market and say, I'm going to go for this, I'm going to do this. The fire types, so Freds and Friedas, are people who really aren't into the whole rule thing. So the biggest thing that distinguishes the fires from the earths is the right brain versus left brain thinking. So they tend to be freer, less timeless, and also less rule-bound. They don't like to be hemmed in by procedure. If you give someone who's a extreme fire type personality a book to read, they'll probably start at the end and read it backwards. If you give them an assignment and say, do it in this sequence, they'll probably do it out of spite almost in another way, just because they don't like being hemmed in. They like the creative freedom to just do things as the moment calls, as that passion demands of them. So if the earthy types are more like a sort of Germanic or a Swiss person who's rule-bound and is the pillar of society and does what they're told and follows orders and is authority-led and so on, the fire type is the opposite. It's more like a Latin personality, more fiery, more passionate, enjoying the moment, constantly changing, constantly evolving, moods flitting from one to the other. They'll be angry with you one minute, love you the next. They can be noisy and restless, particularly in school. These are the kids who would be in the back of the class and be labeled ADHD. Well, basically, they don't like the way their school is set up. They don't like this mundane, boring process of step-by-step rote learning and so on. They don't like the mundaneness of the whole experience. They're more into having fun, more into enjoying the moment and getting involved with it. If you give someone who's more fiery sign, maybe a little plot of clay, they'll sit there and mess about it for ages and have a time of their life. So these are the people you need to engage with more. If you're a teacher and you find someone in the back being noisy and restless, I'm not saying that they're necessarily a fire person, but that should be a thought in the back of your mind. You can start testing. I'll show you how to start looking for certain signs to make sure that they're a fire personality versus something else. If they are a genuine fire type character, you need to start looking at how to use their right brain and their concrete nature to involve them in the lesson, for example, again. So you might start playing games with them, make them throw a ball around the room whilst reciting, I don't know, some times table or something else. Where every time a person throws the ball at someone else, that person has to answer a question on the history. So notice how you're beginning to involve them in a more visceral sort of way. You might actually start painting the picture of the Battle of Waterloo or whichever other thing you're talking about. But you're involving their imagination now. You're involving their intuition, their non-linear processes. You're involving their need for sensory detail. And that gets them back active inside that classroom. And if you're not necessarily a teacher, it can be the same thing. If you're now a management consultant, and you're faced with someone who is a very fiery sort of personality, you realize that sitting there talking to them in abstract terms about how the company is malfunctioning is going to go totally over their head, and they're probably going to hate you for just sounding clever and being useless. Instead, you can kind of go down to level and say, okay, such and such person's doing this, this, and this. These things are going wrong as a result of doing this. These are the consequences. You've got to fix this, this, and this, and you'll be fine. And suddenly they'll go, great, I know what to do. You've appealed to their concrete nature. You can even appeal to their experiential nature by saying, hey, here's a quick fix. All you do is play this game with people, as a result of which all these other things will take care of themselves. So notice how you're taking the basic principle, the concreteness and the right brain tendency of their thinking, and using it as a benefit, something that helps you to influence these types of people much better. Now, fighter personalities are typically looking for change, variety, and excitement all the time. It's part of their right brain nature and their orientation towards sensory stimulus, their concreteness. The negative or the dark side of the character is that this timelessness, the sense of the now and not really thinking about the future too much, which is more left brain idea, can lead towards recklessness or impulsiveness. So they can look, for example, hypomanic, someone who's constantly doing things, not really thinking about the future or the consequences. It can lead them to being blindly optimistic or a negative sense. So being unrealistically optimistic about a project and starting something which they can never necessarily finish off. This could be actually a great benefit because a lot of advances, a lot of innovations have been made by people who didn't realize that technically what they should be able to do is impossible. An example might be the glue on a post-it note, those sticky notes that you can stick on paper and take off again without damage. If you'd ask a glue expert at the time, if you can create a glue where you can glue two bits of paper together and then separate them again and glue them back together again without damage or tearing or anything like that, that I'd laugh at you and said it's impossible. And yet the person that came up with the idea of a post-it note, that glue that you can put on and off again, was so naive, didn't realize that it's not meant to be possible, that he went ahead and invented it. So the dark side is simultaneously part of this kind of character's power. It's this optimism, even going towards blindness. It can be a gambler in life, someone who expects the best all the time. It can be someone who's willing to take the risk to do it. On the upside, they can win a lot. On the downside, they can get down this whole gambling cycle where they lose more and more and more. A fiery Fred or Frida will be more initiators. In other words, they'll be proactive about the things that they do. They can be very confident and impulsive, and that's part of what makes them very charismatic. They can be very captivating people because their emotions are on show, their brilliance, their energy, their enthusiasm is constantly on show. It's part of their right brain and very sensory-rich nature. And they're very adaptable, which makes them great for artistic processes. They do like beauty a lot because of their tendency towards the sensations and their right brain desire for meaning and for the experience of it. Combine those two together and they have a real eye for beauty and an ear for beauty. They'll make great musicians and artists. Again, not suggesting that earthy or airy or watery types can't be great artists. It's just that there's a natural disposition here because they're looking for both beauty and sensory stimulation at the same time. Fire type personalities tend to be very easygoing, very relaxed, very in the moment, and as a result, very tolerant. They can be very persuasive, particularly to the other types of personalities, precisely because they really wear their heart on their sleeves and live life for the moment. On other sides, they can also be cunning and they can be very wily. It's part of their innovative nature to be able to exploit a certain niche or idea, something that's come up. So in prison movies, or if you've ever been in prison, the fiery type of personality will be the person who can be the fixers, the one who can get you things. The person that, you know, during war and rationing times can find you butter and eggs when these things are meant to be impossible to get your hands on. So how do you tell a fiery type? Well, just as the earthy type is prone to associational thinking, the fiery type is prone to more emotional thinking as a result of its concrete and right-brained nature. The right brain is all about the emotion, the intuition, the experience in the moment, the concreteness about the senses and the awareness. So this comes out in their speech. They talk about things happening right now. You'll rarely get them to, or you won't hear very many comments about the future or the past. It's more about what I'm doing now, what I'm doing today, what I'm going to be doing in the next 5 minutes and so on. They can be very observant people. Again, their concrete nature looks for details, just like the earthy types. And they can be prone to literalness in the same ways, although their right brain nature will make them more open to metaphors and similes than, say, the earthy types. They can still be more grounded and looking for the actual, you know, concrete meaning. So they'll take more to metaphors that have to do with real people and real things than abstract concepts like, say, mathematics and so on. Their specific or concrete nature will mean that they tend to steer clear of, you know, principles, concepts, high-level normalizations like love and virtue and courage and so on. They'll talk more about, you know, individual momentary things. Although they might exhibit these qualities, their focus isn't on the actual abstract nature of them, but the actual in-the-moment experience of them. They don't be much good at planning. So in their speech, in their day-to-day speech, there'll be a lot of details. Much like the earthy types, they'll be very, very good at being kind of general conversationalists. And whereas the earthy types have the big advantage that they can speak without ending because they'll always have this associational flow of ideas, so they constantly have something to say to every topic. What makes the fiery type particularly elegant communicators and very good at small talk and great conversationalists is their grasp for the emotional nature of the conversation. They have a very strong sense of aesthetics, of beauty. That's their right brain, part of their nature or their temperament. And combined with their concrete observing of detail, they can really create this very rich and rewarding language. They can talk to people and enthuse them, taking through a whole roller coaster of emotions. And again, as hypnotists, these are great people to watch, because when a true fire character, a true charismatic, is speaking and taking people through this roller coaster of emotions, we can learn a lot about moving the unconscious mind through these things in terms of their language, sensory rich language. They'll love having hot words and leaning on words. They'll have their personal trance words, and they won't even know they're doing this. It's just natural part of how they use language. They don't tend to use things like definitions or explanations. They don't tend to go into fantasies so much or hypothesize about principles. They'll tend to stick towards, you know, physical ideas, sensory rich language, lively, sensational. You know, think of a conversation as enjoying a wonderful meal, and that's how a fire type personality will tend to have conversations. So if you have someone who tends to be quite pragmatic, quite interpersonal, in other words, good with other people, who is quite fiery, or rather their emotions are very lively, they'll go through the whole roller coaster, highs and lows, they'll speak a lot, they'll have a lot of rich detail, particularly leaning on hot words, and really can create an emotional experience in the whole thing. On a negative side, they might even tend towards slightly towards being drama queens in some way. Well, then chances are pretty high you've got a fire type character. Look for the concreteness in their speech, and look for the right brain in the moment kind of attitude in their general being, and you've got a pretty good shot at knowing that this person is a fire character.